Hello and welcome to this
Healthy But Human podcast episode.
Episode number 389, if you're counting. And if you're not.
My name is Callie Gwally. And
I am John Gwally, Callie's husband.
And today we are doing a joint episode. You guys, fun fact, in case you were wondering, we have this tradition, John and I, where when it's one of our friends' birthdays or family members' birthdays, we sing them a very extravagant happy birthday voice message. John,
it sounds something like this.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Listener. Happy birthday to you. That was good. That final note. Happy birthday to you. Okay, so
happy birthday. Hi. If anyone's listening,
yeah, I hope birthday. Someone listening is actually your birthday.
And if it's not your birthday, please send this to someone whose birthday it is.
Tell them listen to the first like minute of the episode. Okay, so hi, welcome to our podcast. We usually don't start that way, but today is special because we have John Gwally, my husband, back on the podcast. You haven't been on the podcast in a long time. You're back though. Welcome back. How's it feel?
Thank you. It feels so good.
So good to have you back, John. So good. Anyways, you guys, I'm really pumped to have you here listening to our episode. We are going to be talking about how to have healthy communication and how to set boundaries in your relationships. Ooh, what does that mean to you, John Gwally?
It means that we get to share a lot of the lessons we've learned over the last 2 years of marriage with the listeners.
We've almost been married for 2 years. Has it felt like 2 years to you?
It's probably felt like five, but at the same time, like in a good way. Like, I feel like we have the experiences that like most people don't, just because we're entrepreneurial and like we kind of get to just have like 3 weekends in the week if we want. So we have like a lot of experiences together.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time together, which is great.
Which also means we need to figure out how to have good boundaries.
Yes. And like, think about a car, like if you don't drive it much and it just sits and kind of rusts, it, you kind of need to like oil it up, or I guess more like a machine. This makes sense. I know that people listening are girls, but like you girls follow, right? Like if a machine sits and it's not being used, then it like needs more oil and it can like kind of be like crunchy when it starts up. That's the same thing with a relationship and communication. If you don't have like an open, healthy line of communication, then it's just harder when you do try and communicate because you're not constantly refining and constantly oiling up the machine.
Yeah, that's great. So anyways, we just dove right into it. But maybe if you have a relationship and like, let's say you're dating someone or you're engaged or you're married or you're single. I mean, I was going to say this is a great episode to listen to with your partner. You guys can have some good takeaways from us, hopefully. We've done bad things, you could say, good things in communication. We've had some really lows, some high highs. But before we get into our communication episode, you guys, we can't forget our self-check-in. John, are you excited for your self-check-in today?
I'm literally thrilled.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
9.5.
Only a 9.5? Why not the other half?
Self-check-in time.
You want to lead it? I think you got this.
If you have water nearby and you haven't drank water in the last 30 minutes, then let's drink some water. Cheers.
That's not the self-check-in. You're close though.
If you haven't stood up and you're not driving right now.
No, you're supposed to ask them the question. Oh. Have you hydrated your hot bod in 30 minutes?
Have you hydrated your hot bod in the last 30 minutes? Question mark. I've been using voice to text a lot lately. And so I've, in conversations with Callie, I've literally said period at the end of what I'm communicating before. And she didn't realize it, but I realized it.
Well, I think I use was it, punctuation in my own everyday language, just to exemplify what I'm already saying. I'll be like, question mark, exclamation point. I feel like I've been doing that for years.
Self-check-in.
Self-check-in. I'm ready. Check me in.
Wait, okay, wait. Can you lead this?
No. Can you? Let's alternate questions. You can start.
Have you hydrated your hot
No, that's not first. That's not first. You start by saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how are you feeling today?
10. What else would I say if I was hypothetically to lead this? Can you ask?
You would say, now that you know how you're feeling, ask yourself, why do I feel how I feel?
That's a great question. I'm going to keep that private.
Okay, what's your next question?
Have you hydrated your hot bod in the last 30 minutes?
You know, John, I does coffee count?
No.
Why not?
Coffee dehydrates you.
Really?
Yes, it's a diuretic.
Ooh, where'd you learn that fun fact?
My mom.
No, you didn't. Did you actually?
Yes, my mom's smart.
I thought you learned that from our coffee tour.
Also that. Also our coffee tour in Costa Rica. Way cooler answer.
He told us that you eat bananas after you drink coffee. Didn't they have bananas on the farm?
It did, because coffee makes you runny and the potassium and bananas stops you up.
Ooh.
So it's like a great combo. And come on, coffee and bananas together? Guys, delicious.
Coffee nana.
Question.
Coffee nana. Next question is, okay, have you stood up in the past 60 minutes? You know the drill, John. What's the drill?
If you're not driving, then definitely stand up if you haven't in the last 60 minutes. If you are driving,
don't.
Please drive safely.
Please don't do that.
Please exercise caution while you're driving.
Okay. Next question is, what do you want to ask the people?
How would you solve a Rubik's Cube if you had 3 seconds?
How would you solve it?
I would smash it on the ground because all the tiles would go everywhere. I don't know. Three seconds is not much time.
Yeah, it's not much time. I think what I would do is I would voice to text in ChatGPT and have a robot solve it.
I think actually what I would do to solve the Rubik's Cube is I would dunk it in white paint.
White paint?
Well, or just like any color paint so that all the sides would be the same color.
That's actually really smart.
Anyways, if anyone agrees and you're like, oh, wow, that was smart.
That was really smart. That was a good workaround. Would you rather be a pickle or a porcupine?
Porcupine.
Why?
Because porcupines have a life. Pickles just sit in a jar.
But they were first a cucumber.
Yeah, and I guess you grow as a plant. But like porcupines, I mean, you get to be like cute and spiky and stuff. And you get to like go eat bugs on the forest floor. So I would think porcupine.
John, I have to know. Shark cano or what was it? Shark dentist?
Yes. I like shark dentist. There was an episode on Disney Plus, this show called like Animals, They're Just Like Us. And it just aired. And there's an episode called Shark Dentist. I highly recommend it. There's a section in it where monkeys basically like smash rocks against other rocks to get minerals. And I had no idea that like animals took supplements. But animals, the monkeys were literally trying to get their vitamins in.
How did that inspire you to live your life differently?
Oh, I took 2 vitamin C right away.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I took 2 vitamin C pills like right after that episode. I was like, why am I not taking vitamins?
Did you smash them with rocks?
No, they were already in veggie capsules.
Has anyone ever smashed a rock on something to get a superfood out?
Leave
a comment below.
Leave a comment. DM at Healthy But Human Pod on Instagram. Also, the TikTok is booming at Healthy But Human on TikTok. So feel free to like leave some comments on those posts. Like, engage, share with your friends. Yeah.
John, did you ever want to be a YouTube star?
Yes.
Why?
It's fun.
Why?
I think like, you know, when you're just like with your pals, and I guess gals don't really call them pals. You know, when you're with your gals and you're just like on one and you're like being silly and you just kind of like feed off each other's energy and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think if I was in a like a healthy kind of environment like that all the time and had a camera or someone filming us, we would go viral.
Why don't you? Do you not feed off of me?
Babe, there's nothing stopping us. We have GoPro. We have a camera.
We have full YouTube stars. We even have light rings and we even have a photo set up. We could become the next Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Beast.
Yeah, but he probably already trademarked his name.
Mr. and Mrs. Awesome.
Mr. Beast Jr. Mr. Beast knockoff. You're not a knockoff.
Emoji.
Emoji. Exclamation. Okay. The people are probably like, what's happening? That was our self-check-in. Okay. Do you guys feel like you've been checked in now? And we need to know. Sharkano or Shark Dentist, they already know about Sharkano. Someone actually messaged me about Sharkano.
That's so lit.
I don't think they watched it, but they appreciated my commentary. What if I just spent the entire... What if this whole podcast took a total 360 or one, whatever you call it, 180, and became a nature podcast? Like, what if I just took my mic and my Rodecaster and my computer and all the cords into Hawks Bluff Trail and just sat and observed and talked about what I was experiencing?
I would follow the show. What would you call it?
I don't know. I was just thinking about Prowlers of the Everglades. It could be like the next Prowlers of the Everglades.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, you're probably like, what's happening? Anyways, hi. Let's get into it. Let's get into our topic. Now that you guys have heard us communicate, how did you like our effect? Was that effective communication, John?
Absolutely. That was very effective communication.
Well, okay. Anyways, on a more serious note, what has been like, I feel like our communication was so bad at first, like so toxic low key when we first started dating and like, even when we first got married, what changed? Like what? Okay. Let's actually give the people a rundown. What was our communication like and what wasn't working for us?
Yeah. So I think let's start in the dating phase. Cause like that was so different because we were dating long distance and anyone out there dating long distance, y'all about to feel this, right? So it would be, a lot, I wouldn't say like I got a lot of needy texts, but it was like, I think both of us just were like in that like mushy, like texting, you know, cause you can't see them at home when you get home from work. So it's just kind of like a lot of like, hey, like you haven't responded in an hour, but like Callie, I think from the start, like I set the boundary. That's a, what do you call it? Foreshadowing. Yeah. That's foreshadowing for this
episode.
What's
a boundary?
We'll get into that later, but I kind of set the boundary. I was like, hey, like I'm on a deal this week. Helping launch a new bond. Like I'm basically not going to be able to talk for 3 days. And she was like, oh,
we were in dating.
Yeah. So anyways, she kind of got the gist, but I think really a lot of it would came down to like when we would meet in person from the long distance relationship, it would be a lot of like, well, I just want to do whatever you want to do. And it was like a lot of codependency because Well, it's like, oh no, don't worry. Like I can put this off till later. Like I'm here with you now. And it was kind of a lot of, I would say like a lot of, like, what would you call that?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing. I think if it happened, like if someone's visiting you, right, like you do make time for the person, obviously, to hang out with them and tour them around all the things. But I think what happened is like from my side of things, I would come up to New York for like 2 weeks or a week and I was working my job. Like it was a remote job, but I also was building a social media. And what would happen is I would put off my social media and just be like, oh, it's fine. Like I'm not going to put time into it because I'm with John. I want to give him my everything. As a result, I started to become less disciplined in building my own social media and my business and all of the things. And as a result, I started to just kind of like mold into what John was doing. And I didn't as much prioritize like what were things that were important to me, like my own dreams, my own goals, things that I loved to do. Like when he'd go to work, like I would still go and like take a Pilates class or go and go to a coffee shop and work, which are things I love to do. But I noticed like as we started, like as we moved in together, that's a whole other conversation. I really, really stopped doing things that I loved because I wanted to be with John constantly. And I kind of lost myself. That's what it felt like. I became like a weird like version of John that wasn't who Callie was anymore.
Yeah. And I just remembered a couple of things about like how we would communicate. So there were really good times where we would like get into each other's hearts. You know, I thought that we were ready for that in our relationship, but we would also like, on the flip side, kind of the unhealthy stuff was like, I'd say like any sort of profanity or like just like insensitivity or like what else? I was not like a super nice person when we started dating because I kind of like took on the New York persona and just became a jerk. But I guess I was like very judgmental. So I guess like that communication just was not hitting.
Yeah, that was pretty hurtful.
Yeah.
Definitely had to work through a lot of that.
But I think in general, like I had a nice heart and I was a very loving person, but you know, whether you're a girl or a guy listening, I mean, I think it's just important to just be compassionate and considerate of who you're talking to. And then also, I mean, like the plus side was that we had really deep and open conversations very frequently, which was really nice because I actually felt like I got to know you.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, our communication when we were doing long distance, I think was actually really, really healthy. Like, I think we did a really good job at having good boundaries. And like when we weren't together, I mean, it was really good. But I think that there were moments, like looking back, I think it got to a point where we were so like in love that we would FaceTime each other constantly. At one point, to the point where I kind of stopped living in my reality because I was FaceTiming John constantly. So that's where it started to turn into this kind of codependent relationship, is that my world was very much, what is John doing right now?
Yeah, I feel like, because I think we had each other's location. So I feel like if I got home, you know, within 15 or 20 minutes, I'd get a text like, hey, like, what's up? What are you up to tonight? And it's like I'm just trying to cook dinner and something. But it became like, yeah, like, okay, I need to be talking to you like while I cook dinner. Because, yeah, we just talked a lot.
Which isn't a bad thing. But I think it was the amount that we did it. It slowly led to us not doing things that fulfilled our own independent time.
Yeah, well, and I think at like a certain point, and long distance homies, like y'all feel me. At a certain point, it became like, we're not even talking on FaceTime. We're just like doing our own thing. Like I'm like scrolling on my computer, like doing research or like shopping on Amazon, and like we're not saying anything for 20, 30 minutes. And it's like that, like that's not quality time. I'm a quality time guy.
I feel like in a way though, it was kind of like we're hanging out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's pros and cons to it. I think that long distance, like summarizing long distance, because I want to get into how everything shifted when we actually lived together, is long distance. I think what really worked for us was, one, assuming the best of each other, and two, just like really, really resolving conflict right when it happened. I think that is what we were so good at, because when you're long distance, it is so easy to have those intrusive thoughts that are like, is this person cheating on me? Is this person, what are they doing right now? They're not talking to me. Like what's happening? Like those intrusive, fearsome, worrisome thoughts. And I think that like, even if John would say something that would make me feel judged or make me feel not amazing, like I would immediately address it. And same with him, he would address things that maybe I did or said or whatever. And it was like from the out of the gates, I feel like our relationship was so based on, we're going to like openly address conflict, and it's not going to be an all or nothing thing for our relationship. Like we're not going to break up just because we have a conflict. Like we're actually going to talk through it. And I think that that is why it worked for us. Cause I've done long distance before and it didn't work at all.
Yeah. And I think the biggest proponent of keeping that alive and like being able to resolve conflict was in college. Like I would say like 2 years before we started dating, I read a book called Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. And it taught me, you know, I had like some flings in college, nothing serious, but you know, through that time I had practice like with the trust cycle. You know, trust is displayed and not demanded. Like it's like I show trust and then in return I receive trust from my partner. Just things like that. And like conflict resolution, it's like, it's good to work through conflict, and like how to do that is talked about in Keep Your Love On. And as a bonus, New York City and New Yorkerites, whatever you want to call it, New Yorkers, just in general, were very confrontational. And that's something I picked up on the trading floor as well, is like you have to confront something on the trading floor within seconds, because like if there's a mistake in the order, you could really mess someone's life up, you know, like financially. Like you can mess up a client's order and their portfolio, and then you have to go through like settlements, and it's just like a pain if you mess something up. So something like if there's an issue or a typo, like you have to nip it in the bud fast, because like markets move fast. So that was something that helped too, I think.
That was really hard for me. I was so not used to having confrontational relationships. I just remember at first I was like, it feels like there's always a problem.
Yeah, and I wasn't raised confrontationally either. But then in New York, I kind of like, that was probably the best thing that came out of New York, is just like being confrontational.
Yeah, it's so true. Because I mean, we were both originally from Texas. And if you're listening, you were in the South. In general, the South is very much, it's all right, it's fine.
Yeah, in the South, like confrontation seems mean, and it's actually not. It's actually really loving.
Yeah, that's so true. It's really not a bad thing necessarily. I think it is important though to just, what I've learned like in confrontation is really just listening from a, asking God, first of all, asking God for just help to see the person through his lens. I think sometimes when someone confronts us, it can, our immediate response is defense mode, feeling defensive, feeling like they're coming against you, feeling like everything's going to fall apart. But in reality, like when you just press into the Lord for guidance and for helping to see the situation from his perspective, those are the moments that I've had those conversations, hard conversations, completely shift entirely. Like it has changed everything. It helps me see the person where they're coming from. It helps me have compassion on the person. It helps me make it less about myself and more about, okay, like this is someone I love. This is someone I care about. Like we're going to figure this out. So I think that that's something that really, if you are wanting to become a little bit more confrontational or have someone in your life who's confrontational and you feel like they're always against you, that has helped me so much, is just pressing into God in that.
Yeah. And like assuming the best, like when they do confront you, it's like Callie brought up that, like, I didn't, you know, do my chore yesterday. And it was like, she like confronted me on that. And I like, you know, immediately got defensive in my flesh, and I didn't, you know, I held my tongue thankfully, but I think just assuming the best and trying to see past the emotions and be like, okay, is there truth to this? Okay, what can I do to like resolve this? If I'm at fault, how can I resolve this? Why is she bringing this up? And just assuming it's because she loves me and because, you know, she has good intentions.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that. I think something that even came to my mind is just the verse. What do you know? What verse it is? The log in your eye. That verse.
Oh yeah, don't judge. I mean, well, if you judge, you're going to be judged the same way that you judge. It was in Matthew 7. I actually read it this morning.
Oh.
So yeah, it's just, if you're going to judge, you're going to be judged the same exact way. And then afterwards, like after that part in scripture, Jesus says, like, love your neighbor as your, wait, no, what is it? Yeah. Do unto others as you want done to you. And that's like the King James or whatever version. It's basically like treat people how you want to be treated. So if you want to get like a little care package or like receive a nice text in the morning one day from a random friend that you haven't talked to, text a random friend that you haven't talked to in the morning, a really encouraging text. It's like,
it's Matthew 7. The verse I was thinking is Matthew 7, verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So this is just in relationships, friendships, marriage, dating, whatever. I really feel like we've seen this so come so true, where like even yesterday you asked me, you're like, is there something else going on? Like that you're, I think I was angry at myself for something. And it's just really easy sometimes to look at others and blame them for things and be like, hey, you need to fix this. You need to fix that. This isn't working. Like you're doing this wrong, when in reality you're doing the exact same thing. So in conflict, before you accuse, I just challenge you to look at yourself and be like, am I doing the exact same thing? And it doesn't mean that you can't talk to that person about that situation, but I think it's important to also address that maybe you need to work on it yourself. And then when you come to that person, you'd be like, hey, look, I'm working on this too. Like, let's work on this together. I think that that's something that has helped me in conflicts before, is just staying humble.
Yeah. I was, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about a little bit about marriage? I think that like we had our marriage honestly took a huge turn in a good way when we went through some really cool, just like inner healing stuff, some deliverance, just freedom from things that were really just ugly in our hearts. Our marriage, just for reference, like when we first got married, we were going to marriage counseling, but we didn't know a lot about healthy communication in marriage. We were operating from a lot of codependency. We were operating from, I think, a lot of just fear-based communication. And there wasn't a ton of like biblical love and respect in our marriage. So I want to talk a little bit about that, how it shifted.
Yeah. I mean, like, so when we moved in together, because that was kind of like where we were headed. When we moved in together, I think while I was still working for the bank, we communicated like, okay, but I had no idea how to communicate with a female. And that leads us into our marriage. But like, okay, so we left New York in October and we were so codependent and like both suffering from anxiety and just depressed and needed sunshine and nature. The communication was like kind of rough. It was very much like blob, very codependent blobby.
We felt like blobs.
Yeah. Like
You were okay. kind of like,
I was like so indecisive on things. I was like, sure. Like, and Callie was like just needing an escape from New York City, but
I was running from my reality. That's a whole other situation.
I would say like that led us into when we moved to Florida, and we realized on our big road trip in between those that like we were really codependent. So when we moved to Florida, I had my own office space and I would listen to music and built my desk and my room. And like, it was like the first time I was just really being independent, you know, going on the boat by myself. And then
we also worked together. Let's just put that out there.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, we did. And it was very much like a, you know, very high communication relationship, working relationship too.
And there was a lot of stuff there. I mean, I felt like I was above John in everything. And so I would talk down to John a lot, which is extremely ineffective.
Well, yeah, it's disrespectful, but also I was extremely arrogant and cocky and thought I knew best on everything.
We clashed.
So,
to put it lightly.
Yeah, it was just pride. I mean, I think the secret is like, just don't be arrogant.
Truly, learn constantly. Stay humble. You can learn from someone no matter where they are in the ladder of working or whatever.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into marriage. Yes. Yeah. I just teed you up for that.
Okay. So anyways, there you go. We were trying our best. And I think there was a lot of pros to our relationship. Like I said, a lot of cons. And I also want to just put it out there. This might grate on some people's nails. I don't know what the phrase is there, but we moved in together when we were dating. And if you are listening, you probably are like, isn't that not biblical? Isn't living together sex before marriage? Like, isn't that, it's not living together, but like, you know, sex before marriage, lust, all that is a sin. And it's not recommended. So we are not recommending that. I think looking back, I mean, it worked out for us. We did end up getting married and everything, but honestly, like, I don't know. I mean, if you could speak to people about that topic, I mean, why would you like what about it did you feel like was not productive, like living together while dating? You know what I mean?
I don't know about you, but in the past, Easter has really snuck up on me, and I found that I've brushed aside the deeper meaning behind God's ultimate sacrifice, which is sending his son to die for us so that we could have a close access to him just as we are, no matter who we are. Easter is the reminder that Jesus died for everyone. Whether you've been walking with God for 20 years or you've never said a prayer in your life, he wants a relationship with you, just as you are. When I recommitted my life to Jesus, I was living in Miami, freshly out of a 4-year relationship, coping through the party scene, feeling so empty and anxious, when two of my friends who didn't even know each other invited me to the same church on the same weekend. And you guys, God spoke so clearly to me, and from that day forward, growing closer to him has actually changed my life forever. One of my daily habits that I love to use to really connect with the Lord is through the Glorify app, and I'm especially pumped to use it during Holy Week. It's my go-to for daily devotionals, scripture, guided worship, and even calming meditations when I'm feeling overwhelmed or far from God. And right now, Glorify is inviting us into an 8-day Holy Week challenge. 8 devotionals, 8 days, each one drawing you closer to Jesus in a simple, powerful way. They've partnered with The Chosen, and Laura Silva, who plays Eden, created exclusive Holy Week content just for the app. If you're ready to celebrate Easter in a new way, join me and join Glorify's Holy Week Challenge. You'll also get access to exclusive reflections and insights from The Chosen's Lauren Silva, guiding you through the season of renewal. Visit glorify-app.com/Cali right now to download the Glorify app for free. That's glorify-app.com/Cali to download the Glorify app for free. glorify-app.com/Cali. My healthy human queen, have you ever felt like you're doing everything right? Eating healthy, working out, getting your steps in, but your energy still tanks by 2 p.m. or you just feel off for no reason? Same. And what I didn't know for the longest time is that so many of those little things, low energy, occasional bloating, mild mood dips, can actually be tied to what's going on with your hormones. Okay, but Callie, I know my hormones are out of whack. Where do I even start? That's exactly why I love Happy Mammoth. They have a free 2-minute hormone quiz that helps you uncover what might actually be going on beneath the surface. It's super quick, just a few questions about your lifestyle and what you're feeling, and then it gives you a personalized recommendation. I took it myself, and my results showed that my estrogen levels might be off. One of the first things they suggested was their best-selling herbal formula called Hormone Harmony, which is filled with plant-based ingredients backed by science. They have adaptogens in Hormone Harmony, such as ashwagandha, which helps your body respond to stress, and maca root, which I love, which supports steady energy, helps ease mild mood swings, and even supports healthy desire and drive. Hormone Harmony has over 40,000 five-star reviews, and they sell a bottle every 24 seconds. One survey even found that 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said they felt like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Callie at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Callie for 15% off today. And you spell Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E.
I think because we weren't like committed to each other in that way. I mean, we also moved really fast. Like, we moved in together after 6 months of long distance dating. So we had already kind of stayed for 2 weeks at a time in Miami and stayed for 2 weeks in New York. So like, it kind of felt like we were living together when we were together. But I think like, just have your own space and time, because I think when we moved in together while we were dating, we weren't able to ease into each other's lives. Like, Callie wasn't able to ease into my social life and create her own social life, because like, she didn't know anyone in New York really. I mean, like, my life, her life revolved around me, and then my life, I stepped away from my friends, and then my life revolved around her, because like, we lived together. It wasn't like, hey, like, let's get together on Thursday and it's Monday. It was like, okay, well, I need some space because we've been hanging out for the last 38 and a half days plus, you know, 7 hours.
Okay, wait, I know what I want to say about this. I think that like, one of the things, aside from obviously sexual sin, is that it was like you were saying that we weren't committed to each other. I think what really changed for me that I felt this huge shift is when we got married, it wasn't like we'd have a fight and I'd be like, well, we might be moving out. We might be breaking up. It was like, no, like, we are figuring this out together. We have made this like agreement, this covenant. Was it covenant? Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah. Covenant together. Like, we are in this. And I think that when you live together, I mean, if you live with someone right now, you probably already have experienced it. It's a lot of growing pains, a lot of figuring out how to live with a guy. Oh my goodness. Or if you're a guy listening, live with a girl. Like, it is such a huge adjustment. And it's just, I think when you throw in the whole thing on top of it, that you aren't actually married, that you aren't actually committed, it just adds this layer of stress that you don't even realize is there, because it's like, oh my gosh, like, what if this doesn't work out? Like, those thoughts, I think, can be so intrusive, and you've literally given it like, you've given your, this person like everything, like you're being like their spouse, but you're not committed fully. I don't know. I think looking back, I know I experienced that. I don't want to preach at people like I am perfect, because I'm not, but I think that's what things I was feeling. And as a result, our communication turned really toxic, because I was operating out of a place of insecurity. I was coming from a place of fear a lot of the time in conflict, because I truly, like, we weren't committed. So, or like committed, like married committed. So anyways, that's my little spiel. I really would recommend just waiting to live with someone until you're married to them. You don't need to try it out. I promise that when you guys are married,
yeah, you don't need to try
it out. You don't need to test it out, make sure it's going to work. Cause I promise you, if you guys are both pursuing the Lord with your whole heart, and you guys are respecting each other and loving each other unconditionally, and your husband is leading you spiritually, and he is acting as Jesus did for the church, like, it's going to work out. Like, you guys just both need to be walking in the spirit, and it's going to be fine. Like, you're going to figure out your little differences. Like, it doesn't have to be a little test run. I'm telling you, I know that's the mindset. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Your differences are so valid, by the way.
Yeah, they are. But we figured them out. So anyways, I don't need to like preach at people, and if you're going through that, like, take it up with the Lord. Truly, don't take it up with me. I'm not perfect.
What are three things that you've learned from being married for 2 years?
Three things I've learned. Oh my goodness. I think the first one is like, in a communication standpoint, realizing that guys and girls communicate differently. You are very much like, lay it out as it is, no fluff. Girls are a little bit, some girls are a little beat around the bush. You know, when I communicate with my best friend, I feel like we understand each other. There's no misunderstandings in how we speak if it's not direct. But with John, one time when I was pregnant, I was like, you know, a cookie sounds really good. He was at the grocery store, and you didn't realize that meant I would love a cookie, but I don't actually want to like say it, you know? And he didn't get me a cookie. And I was like, wait, what? Where I think most girls will like understand that, which I know it's indirect communication. It's not direct communication, but guys are very direct. So that's one thing, is guys and girls communicate differently. Number two is that things that make me feel loved don't make you feel loved necessarily. Guys are very much, you guys, if you're in a relationship, even if you're not, read Love and Respect or take the course at your church or listen to the audiobook.
By Emerson Eggerich.
I haven't even read the whole thing and it's like changed so much. I mean, we did the course at our church and it was so, so helpful. But just understanding that like your husband or boyfriend or spouse, they speak in the language of respect. John, what does respect look like for girls who are like, ew, what is that?
Yeah, respect. I mean, I think like guys are wired to conquest and to take on risk, and they want to be in positions of authority, and you know, they have like sexual needs that are just different from a female. So there's an acronym in the book that's CHAIRS, and it's conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight. I don't remember right this second, but and then that's the sexuality. But the insights thing is like, you know, if Callie or like if listener, like if you're a girl and you're asking your guy, like, hey, like, what do you think about this situation? More like, what do you think I should wear to this? Blah, blah, blah. And he gives you advice and you take that advice. That means so much to him, more so than probably like, you know, like a gentle touch or like a kiss on the cheek while he's working or something. Because like men want to have their ideas listened to. There's also like men communicate for information exchange. Women communicate for feelings exchange a lot of times. And I'm not saying that's 100%, but in like a lot of the times, that's why there's a lot of communication like differences. And yeah, I think respect, like you've done a good job when I'm like, hey, like I'm going to go fly fish tonight on my buddy's boat. And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. Like that is fulfilling. Like that fills me up to want to love you more because I feel respected. Like that conquest, that desire to adventure and to take risk and like see the world and stuff like that is awesome. So I love when you encourage that.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. I think the third thing I've learned is that it literally just slipped my mind. Oh, I think it was the crazy cycle. Well, okay, I have two things. I just want to add two things. The crazy cycle is also part of this book. Basically, we are called to live lives where we unconditionally love and unconditionally respect our spouses. So in general, even if your spouse is not saying nice things to you today, or maybe they're being edgy or whatever, and you feel like they are mad at you and are not nice, we are still called to unconditionally respect them, which I know can be really challenging sometimes, but I'm telling you, there's this thing called the crazy cycle. And if John and I are both not loving or respecting each other, we're on this thing called a crazy cycle, which that's what can lead to this explosive anger at each other, yelling, aggression, whatever the case is, not aggression. I mean, we should never be aggressive with each other, not aggressive ever. But I mean, more so like raising your voice, passive communication in a way that's really like manipulative, things like that can come from being on the crazy cycle. But the, what's it called? What's the other one?
The, I don't know, like the good cycle.
the healthy cycle is when you are unconditionally loving and respecting each other. So this guy talks about how he's had couples who wanted to get divorced. And when he challenged one of the spouses to just like unconditionally respect her husband, and it changed everything, and he didn't hear back from them because they had a healthy relationship. So I think that's something I learned, and we have seen it work over and over and over again. And we'll be like, let's get off the crazy cycle. Let's like pray. Just praying when you guys have conflict, helping, like inviting God in, because when you invite the Lord into conflict, I mean, he's going to completely, it's like a little, the fire, he'll like calm the fire. He'll put it out and help you guys see rationally and actually understand where each other's coming from. And I think that like, I just had this point come into my mind, like listening to love someone else, not listening to prove something to someone else. I think that that is a key in communication. Like, how did Jesus approach people? Like, he wasn't listening to the Pharisees trying to prove a point to them. No, he listened to other people and would respond out of love to them. He would respond with truth. It was sometimes hard to hear, but he never came from a place of judgment to people. He came from a place of like truth because he loved them so well. So I think that that is a key element in our communication, that when, if John comes at me and he is upset at me with something, listening to him from a loving lens, not from a place of he hates me, but how can I love him in my response? How can I respect him in my response? How can I just like listen to understand? out of the way that the Lord listens to hear us when we talk to him.
Love it. Yeah. So insightful, Callie.
Thank you. That came from the Lord. That was listen to love. That was not from me. That was from God. So shout out Holy Spirit. Anyways, do you have anything else that like, what are some things you've learned from our marriage?
Oh man, got to warm up for this. I've learned a lot. I think in the start of our marriage, I was very much doing my own thing at my own will and she can suck it up. And maybe there's a listener out there that kind of feel like you're doing that with your significant other or your spouse, and I'm going to just do me and he can get over it.
Or maybe it's reversed.
Or maybe it's reversed. Maybe you feel like you're on the short end of that stick. I think it, like, the root for me was just like selfishness. Like, I didn't understand, like, oh, I need to like sacrifice some of my activities and like I need to sacrifice my time to like spend time with her. And because I didn't know that she needed to be close and open and for me to be understanding with her and to make peace and be loyal to her and, you know, esteem her and hype her up. Like, I just didn't understand that, like, that's what fueled her. Cause I was a quality time guy and I loved independence. I mean, I love solitude in general. So I thought she was the same way. So what I learned is to, like, just die to yourself and kill the flesh. Cause ultimately, like, I didn't know at the time, but now I have enough experience with like killing the flesh. Like, all that was just flesh. And there was a night where I was like wanting to DJ and we like got in a verbal disagreement and, you know, I was like, whatever, like, I'm just going to go DJ. And y'all, I'm a talented DJ for sure. And I have experience and I could not mix for like 5 or 10 minutes to save my life. Like, my brain just stopped and I was like, what's happening? And so at that point I was like, okay, like maybe like I need to go back in there. Cause like, clearly I'm not getting any fruit from this.
When was that?
That was when we were like first married, like probably first month of being married, which is a rough season. But yeah, the love and respect class definitely helped. I think just like taking, we had an inner healing class at our church. Basically all inner healing is like inviting the Holy Spirit into your belief system. Like, there are lies that we believe from the enemy, from how our parents have raised us, from how the world tells us we ought to live and tells us what's okay. And anything that goes against the word of God and God's character, like, that can kind of harness like darkness in us. And we don't know where it comes from or why. And so maybe sometimes like we get angry and we get like a little too upset at something and it's like, whoa, okay. Like, it was just it was just a piece of whatever, you know, that fell on the ground. And like, really in reality, it's like, okay, well, but all this other stuff is happening. And it's like that, getting to the root of things. And I think being able to walk one another through that and just asking the Holy Spirit, like, hey, how do I respond to this? Like, what do I need to say here? That is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which in the Greek is rhema word. So not like the already happened word, but the currently happening word, which is when God speaks to us. So the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Anytime I've listened to the Lord in an argument or like how to respond to Callie, it's like I'm swinging a sword at the enemy. It all stops. Like, I'm no longer being battered and banged up, you know, using my shield of faith. I'm like now on the offense and I am taking ground back. And that has always produced good fruit. And it's not like a quick fix fruit. It's like, okay, we're going to get into some healing now and this is never going to happen again kind of fruit. So yeah, and it brings peace, you know?
I love that so much. I think adding on a little bit to inner healing is it's really easy. Sometimes you can, especially with like John now, cause we are one, is I can sometimes sense when something is off within him, like basically like a trigger. So I mean, this is a little different, but if you notice yourself or someone you're around get triggered by something that was said or that happened, triggers are like signals in a car light. They just show you, or signals in a car, they just show you that something is not right. So that is a good sign that maybe there is that faulty belief system that you can work through with your spouse or with whoever. But yeah, I think that is just something that has been really, really beautiful in our relationship, is even just taking the time to like help each other work through things and just like leaning in on the Holy Spirit for guidance. And just it, I mean, that's what we did that last night. We got in like a little argument and I think it ended up in a really just some inner healing and even just praying and asking God, like, what do you want me to tell my spouse or this person? Like, what can I encourage them with? What's the truth? And even when you speak the Rhema word over someone else, like, it does cut through a lot of lies. And I remember last night, like, that did really help a lot when I was believing a lie about something. But there was something else that, like, came to me. Ooh, what was it? Oh, this is so important, and we need to just address this really fast. When you are married to somebody, you have a soul tie with them. You are married, you are having sex, all of those things. And so it is really important to realize that when you can curse someone with words you speak over them. Look at Jesus. He literally cursed a fig tree. So it's really important to watch what you say over your spouse. If I tell John that he is stupid, let's say I'm angry at him and I say that, I'm essentially cursing myself with that as well. So you need to be really mindful about what you speak over your spouse, even joking, even things like that. Our words hold a lot of power. So the way you renounce a curse, a word curse, is you say, I renounce blank that I said in Jesus' name. And then you say the opposite, bless the person with, you are intelligent, John, or whatever the case is.
Thank you.
That is something that has been really cool to learn about, is just how when you're married, it can affect you as well. Even unforgiveness and bitterness, like, you can feel them. You know, I was saying I can feel something when something's off with John. I mean, we have a soul tie, so we can really feel the other person, what they're experiencing. So if I'm holding bitterness against John because I haven't forgiven him for something, he can usually sense that in me, and he might feel it as well in different situations. Do you have anything you want to say on that? I feel like this is something no one talks about.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, just treat everyone the way you want to be treated, like, period. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Forgiveness is key.
Drop the mic.
You need to forgive people or else you will not be forgiven.
Yeah.
It is so important to forgive your spouse. When you don't forgive your spouse, it builds. It turns into bitterness. It can turn into things that you hold against them that come and explode out in years. So even little things like, if I was feeling unforgiveness toward John for not putting away the dishes, I need to forgive him in that moment so it doesn't build and turn into something even bigger. That's one of the ways that we have leverage against the enemy, is through our forgiveness. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make what someone did as okay or right, but essentially you're transferring that debt, that unforgiveness, to the Lord God Almighty, who it's his job to handle any of that. It's not our job. It's not our role to have revenge on that person. It's just not. It is simply opening another door for the enemy to have a foothold in our life, which can bring chaos, calamity, division, all those things. So it's really important to just be on guard, be mindful, and just operate through the Spirit in everything that you do.
All right. You want to get into boundaries?
Yeah. Let's get into boundaries. For 47 minutes in, you guys, are you still with us? What are some just little tips, some rapid fire boundaries tips that you have?
In Keep Your Love On, there's a chapter on, like, basically this guy's like, if my son or daughter needs my car, or, like, you know, their car breaks down, here, take mine. Here's the keys. If my, you know, business partner needs a car for some reason, hey, I'll pay for your Uber. And then if, like, your acquaintance who, like, you met once at church, like, needs to borrow your car or something, be like, hey, you know, I recommend this car hailing service. It's called Uber and it's pretty affordable, you know, like, not giving too much to those who are very far away from you, but also giving the things that the people closest to you need, giving that to them.
How do you, my question for you is, how do you, like, we're called to help those in need. So what is the fine line?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, if you look at a CEO, or you look at Jesus, I mean, I guess they're very different. Like Jesus, for example, he did help everyone, but he also commissioned his disciples to go and heal the sick. And Jesus, he didn't spend all his time healing. He actually went away and he prayed on the mountain alone. He woke up early and prayed. Things like that, where, like, he couldn't do it without spending a lot of time in prayer. So he was really responding to, like, the people that needed things from him, from the Spirit.
I think he'd fill up. I think that's a huge key component
Yeah.
to setting boundaries. If you never set boundaries, then you're not allowing your cup to be full. Well, look at that cool bird that just landed on the neighbor's.
Whoa, that's huge.
Guys, it's the nature podcast. It's the nature podcast. What is that? Is that a hawk?
Maybe an osprey.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You guys, it has speckled wings. It's so pretty. I don't know what it's hunting though. Oh, is it going after that squirrel?
I think like from the CEO's perspective, the boundary is like, hey, I'm not going to hold your hand, you know, as like a lower level employee, not that I'm above you, like as a human, but CEOs of companies that have 10,000 employees, they're not involved with every employee. They have people below them, 7 to 12 people below them that they manage and that report to them, and they manage people. They don't manage tasks. So I think that's just like one boundary too, is like, if, you know, if you're very far away from me and you need something from me, go like kind of go up the chain a little bit. But I think boundaries in terms of like in our relationship, it's like, hey, I need to be making music right now. Like I need a creative outlet right now. I'm just setting a boundary. Like I'm not talking about business after 7:30 PM. Yeah. Things like that.
Yeah, I think it's important to respect each other's boundaries as well. Like, I think that's a huge component. Like, if someone sets a boundary, it doesn't mean that they don't want to hang out with you. That's something that I had to unlearn, is I thought that if John was like, I'm going to go make music by myself, it meant he didn't want to hang out with me. So I think just also realizing like not everything is about you. That one's sometimes a little hard to hear, but it is so true. Like if we don't allow other people to have a boundary and we cause a scene about them setting a boundary, like that's just, it's a little bit selfish. It's us not choosing to love that person and respect the fact that they maybe do need to have some time by themselves, or maybe they need to have that time to spend time with the Lord or whatever it is. Like, I think it does come down to just removing self from the equation and respecting that someone needs that time or whatever the boundary is, that space. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean any of that. That's something that I had to unlearn. So I'm speaking from personal experience.
Yeah. And I think if anything, like, cause some people might take the word boundary and be like, okay, well I'm making a boundary. Talking about this is off limits. And it's like, okay, chances are there's probably a lot of hurt associated with that topic, that if you just create a boundary and say, no, I'm never talking about this, and you get triggered every time you talk about it, chances are you might need some inner healing.
Yeah.
And actually there's going to be more freedom when you do talk through it, and maybe you're just, your flesh, you just don't feel like you're ready to talk about it because there's just so much to unpack. Just either get alone with the Holy Spirit and have him speak and reveal what the lie is you're believing, and then ask him what the truth is and renounce the lie and declare the truth and cross out the lie in your journal. And just, you know, you can read back over the truth. That's one option. Or like sitting down with someone that is trained in inner healing. I don't know if your church does that or you know anyone like that, but just, you know, ask around.
I think even just sometimes it's easy when someone sets a boundary to take it personally when you're living in a lie that you are a victim and that people, everyone's against you. So even if you're finding yourself triggered when people are, quote, setting boundaries in your life, maybe looking inward instead of outward and being like, why is this affecting me so much? Am I believing that everyone is against me? Am I believing that I'm not good enough? Am I believing that I'm not worthy enough to have boundaries? So just, and even like taking your power back, you don't need to report to every single person when they immediately text you or email you if you are in the middle of something. You just don't. Like, your time is sacred. It is important to protect your emotional health, your emotional energy. So I think it is important to not live a life trying to please others, trying to make everyone happy, but also like live a life as a victor, as victorious, knowing that you have control in how you choose to react, in how you choose to respond, when you choose to respond, how you are living your life, how you're using your time. Like, we have free will. We don't need to live a life thinking that everyone is against us, that your spouse is against you, that no one wants the best for you, because it's just simply not true. And that's something that I used to struggle with a lot. And sometimes I catch myself in that thought process again. And it's like, no, like, I'm not a victim. I am victorious in Christ. Yeah.
Something else I just thought of with boundaries. Thank you, Callie, for sharing that. That's awesome. One thing that I'll do is, and I don't even know when this started, but I basically started clearing my notification center of messages. Like, I would kind of look at the preview so I knew if there was something important. And if there wasn't, like, I would just clear my notifications. And maybe there was, and it was like 9 p.m. And I was just like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I think a lot of people live their lives based off notifications and what mm-hmm. other people are asking from them. Mm-hmm. Like, I get an email like, urgent, I need this ASAP, right?
From me.
No, not necessarily. I'm thinking like in corporate, right? And maybe it's like 5:30 p.m. and you've already clocked out for work or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, clear that notification. And like, I know that I need to get on this as soon as I get back to work, whenever that is. Like, I don't know if you work late or you work super early in the morning the next day, but any sort of like text messages, like I text a lot of people, I will choose to text when I want to text. And, you know, I don't think that offends anyone. Like, I'll respond to my parents and I'll respond to Callie like right away. Cause like, it's kind of like that inner circle who's getting my first fruits of my energy in texts.
Yeah.
And it's definitely Callie I always respond to if I Aww. See her text. But, you know, I set up do not disturb a lot because I don't want to live my life reactive. I want to live my life assertive and declare I am doing this. Mm-hmm. Not like, what do people want from me right now? Because there's going to be, Uber is going to send you notifications. Dunkin' Donuts is going to send you notifications. Domino's. I mean, like,
everyone DoorDash, wants your attention.
Walmart, like every Amazon sends you notifications. So everything is trying to get you to respond. So I've set up a personal boundary where I basically clear my notification center on my phone and I will choose to go on certain apps when I want to go on those apps instead of like, because I got a notification or because I have a missed call, like I need to call them back immediately. It's like, no, I realize there's a missed call, but there's no voicemail. So it can probably wait.
Our brain isn't designed to have this much stimulus every day. Like we are not wired to be responding to hundreds and hundreds of things every single day. Like that is exhausting.
Yeah. Like imagine if Jesus, you know, like if he was with a crowd of 100 people and they were all asking him questions at the same time, that's kind of how notifications are. Right. But what does he do? He listens and he hears and he hears all the questions. And then he chooses to respond once to everybody in a parable. And he teaches them because a lot of times what those people were asking wasn't even important, right? Mm. And maybe Jesus is trying to teach them something different.
That's really true. That's so much truth. It's so true. I mean, oh my goodness. I even thought about how God speaks to us today. Like sometimes he doesn't respond right away. Sometimes he responds later. Like God isn't this immediate, like, oh my gosh, you guys, I just had this realization. If you think about how the enemy responds in our mind, have you ever like had clashing voices in your mind where one, it seems really loud and almost aggressive and it's just like immediate. It's like very urgent. And you're like, and then the other one maybe comes 30 seconds later, however much longer, whatever. And it's almost just like this peaceful, gentle just response. God isn't in a hurry. He's really not. He's not this like, oh, I have to respond right away. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The enemy responds very like that. He is in a hurry. He is very aggressive in how he responds. And I think that if we're living our life in this like panic anxiety kind of mode, because we're afraid that if we don't respond in a certain amount of time to someone, they're not going to be our friend anymore, or they're not going to love us anymore, or the opportunity is immediately lost or whatever the case is, like that's stressful. That's how anxiety happens. That's how worry happens, because we're living this life from a lens of letting all of these notifications control us, where God doesn't operate like that. He just doesn't. God is peaceful. He's not demanding. God, he responds in his own timing. So I think that that's something to be very just observant of, because it is really interesting how our world does try to demand our attention, but God does not try to demand our attention ever.
Well said.
Anything else you want to say before we go?
There's a couple of things. I read a book called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, and it's kind of intense. He used to be like an FBI negotiator for hostages. So this guy is really good at negotiating, basically. Like when he stepped in, he basically saved a bunch of people's lives and, you know, a ton of money in ransoms and all this stuff. And he made a book, and there's a lot of what he teaches is like, you cannot have an effective conversation, whether it's a negotiation or otherwise, if you don't try and understand the other person. Like, that's all negotiation is understanding what the other person wants, what the other person is experiencing. So that kind of goes into, it like ties into this book by Patrick King called How to Listen with Intention. And that book changed my life because I used to be an arrogant fool who would just talk about myself. Like, I went and got a beer with a guy that worked at a hedge fund and had a great chance to network. And I just talked about myself the whole time. We haven't hung out since. Are you surprised? But there wasn't really a connection. I don't really know that much about him other than, you know, a couple things, because I loved to talk about myself.
It probably made you feel good about yourself too, because he probably was just, you know, when someone like listens to you talk about yourself, it makes you think that that person, it gives you this like false, like, I don't know how to explain it.
But there's a lot of questions that you can ask that are just so juicy and so like loving. And it's like the what and how questions. Basically, Chris Voss in Never Split the Difference, like his whole thing is you want the other person on the end of the line. Again, this is hostage negotiation, but it works in business. It works in relationships, families, whatever. You just want as much information as possible. So you want to ask what and how. Like, well, what do you think about this? Well, here's what I think, right? And not, would you like this? And they say yes or no. Right. Because you want to leave it open ended. You want to ask open ended questions, especially when you're married. Like, I think in relationships, this is just huge to ask open ended questions. But here's the thing. Sometimes we ask why. Why'd you do that? Well, I had a friend not long ago. You know, I sent him a Bible verse that I felt like the Lord wanted me to send him. And he was like, why'd you send me this out of the blue? ? And immediately I was like, OK, like tense shoulders, like I feel like I have to give a defense for myself. And I said, well, I just, you know, I thought of you. And he said, oh, cool. Well, we were at premarital counseling and, you know, that Bible verse applied perfectly. And, you know, it was cool timing, whatever. But the question, why'd you do this? Immediately puts people on defense. So like, why didn't you do the dishes? Is like, it's like, hey, like what, I don't even know how you would ask that, but like, hey, how can I help with chores? Or like, how did the chores go today? Or like, what was one thing that got in the way of chores today? I don't know. Like,
that one's tough. That one's a little tricky.
Yeah. But like, instead of asking why, try and ask what and how, and you'll get information instead of defense.
What happened that prevented the dishes from getting done today? I don't know.
Or yeah. Like, hey, how was your day? Or like, I think this is from a manager, like a management book that I read recently, is instead of automatically assuming like, hey, this person walked in late, it's because they're a bad employee. Starting off with, hey, I noticed you walked in late. You know, what was that about? Is everything good? Because if they say, oh yeah, my mom just died and I just came to work. Like, okay, whoa. Like, first off, take time, right? All that stuff. And that's a different conversation. But if you were to just start off like, hey, don't be late ever again or you're fired. Like, can you just imagine the crushed heart from that employee that like, because the manager doesn't seek to understand. So Callie was like, hey, I noticed you didn't do the dishes today. Like, what was the reason? Instead of like, why? What was the reason? Or like, what was kind of the thought behind that? Or like, what got in the way of that? Anything like that. Because that's like, that's helpful. Like, hey, I noticed you didn't do the dishes. Like, what got in the way of that? That's helping me realize what got in the way of that so that I can decide and choose what to do next so that it doesn't get in the way.
Right. Cause like, if I responded and I was like, well, I was trying to get to it, but like, I just had so much more stuff on my plate today. Then maybe John would be like, okay, like no worries. Like, let me help out. Realize.
Like, yeah. Or like, hey, like let's figure out how to get some more off your plate so that you can do the things that need to get done around here.
Like, that's just being an effective team. You have to understand like everyone is experiencing things each day and like no one is perfect. That's something I'm working on right now, is realizing that no one's perfect. Truly.
Don't respond out of emotion. It just doesn't produce any good fruit. It's okay to be emotional, especially like when the conversation turns into inner healing, if that's how it goes. It's okay to have emotions and to express them, but like emotional responses typically are not logical and they just lead to that kind of like crazy cycle, like we're just arguing. Yeah. And that doesn't produce any sort of understanding or anything like that. I think
because you weren't emotional yesterday. When I was emotional, we didn't have a full blown fight.
Yeah, I just kind of said, whoa, let's take 5 steps back. What's going on? Like, what's really going on here?
Yeah, and it was really beautiful when we were able to talk about it. But anyways, I feel like that was such a helpful episode. I hope you guys took a lot away from this episode. And just honestly, like, end of the day, seek God first and everything. He gives us all of our answers, everything that we need. I mean, don't expect yourself to be perfect right away. I mean, these are a lot of things that we've been just learning. And I mean, we've only been married for almost 2 years, not even quite 2 years yet. Like, I know that when we are been married for 50 years, we're going to be like, look back and we're like, haha, these kids, we learned so much since, because we're still learning every single day. But I hope that some of this stuff is helpful to you. And we would love to also hear from you. So if anything really resonated, feel free to just drop it below. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment and tell us what really stuck out to you. If maybe you guys have any questions about anything, love to hear you guys, your response in the comments. But we hope you love this episode. As always, tag us listening on socials at Healthy Be Human Pod. TikTok is Healthy Be Human. And we love you so much. We'll see you next week.
And remember to share this episode with a friend.
Yeah.
Because that helps us reach more people, and it helps you build social credibility with your friend for sharing something valuable.
That's true. Share with a friend. Honestly, share with a friend. I feel like I love sharing podcast episodes with my friends. That's something that we always do. So anyways, we'll see you next week. John won't be on the podcast next week unless the Lord's like, come back.
How do you know?
Maybe you will be back. Maybe John will just be the host.
Maybe I'll be the only one on the episode.
He's mastered the self-check-in, you guys. He's mastered it. But anyways, have the best day ever. You are so deeply loved. God is proud of you. I'm proud of you too. Not that my opinion matters at all. God's opinion is the only one that matters. God is proud of you. He loves you so deeply. And yeah, thanks for coming on the show, John. Woo. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I'll
goodbye.
See you next time.
HBH
Share
fam.
With a friend.
Share with a friend. We love you. Bye.